All this wretchedness had started when the starships had appeared, and with them the Red Cloud. Yesterday, just yesterday, it should have been a wonderful time. Rescue was here, the Navy Marines would come and take them all away and make everything right again. The long, dragging, miserable days out here on the unchanging savannah were over. The idea was a little bit scary, because there was always some comfort in routine, even one as difficult as the homestead. But that didn't matter, she was leaving Lalonde, and nobody was ever going to make her come back, not even Mummy. They had spent a happy morning outside, keeping watch over the savannah for the first sign of their rescuers, though the growing red cloud had been a bit frightening. Then Russ had seen what he claimed was an explosion, and Father Horst had ridden off to investigate. "I'll be back in a couple of hours," were his last words to her as he left. They had waited and waited, and the red cloud had slid over the sky above, bringing its horrible noise with it, as though it was hiding an avalanche of boulders. She had done what she could, organizing meals and rotas, things to do, things to keep them busy, and still he hadn't come back. Her watch had told her when it was night. She would never have known otherwise. They had closed the shutters and the door, but the red light from the cloud seemed to slide in through every crack and cranny. There was no escape. Sleep was difficult. The boomy thunder noise kept going the whole time, mingling with the higher-pitched sounds of crying. Even now the youngest children remained tearful, the older ones subdued. Jay leant on the window-sill, gazing off in the direction Father Horst had gone. If he didn't come back very soon, she knew she wouldn't be able to hold her own tears back. Then everything would be lost.
"I must try not to."
But she had been badly shaken by the way the red light had vanished 90 minutes ago. Now ghastly black clouds swept low and silent over the savannah, turning everything to funereal greys. At first she had tried to play the shapes game, to make them less sinister, but her mind's eye could only conjure up witches and monsters. Jay turned round from the window, registering the frightened faces. "Danny, the fridge should have done some more ice by now. Make everyone some orange juice." He nodded, happy to be given some task. Usually he was a real moaner.
"Jay!" Eustace squealed. "Jay, there's something out there!"
She backed away from her window, hands pressed to her cheeks. There was an outbreak of crying and wails behind Jay. Furniture was kicked and scraped as the children instinctively made for the rear wall. "What was it?" Jay asked. Eustace shook her head.
"I don't know," she said wretchedly. "Something."
Jay could hear the cows mooing plaintively, sometimes the bleating of a goat. It might just be a sace, she thought. Several had gone by yesterday, driven from the jungle by the red cloud. She gave the open door a nervous glance. She'd have to shut it. With shivers in each limb, she shuffled back to the window and peeked round the frame. Lightning was playing along the horizon. The savannah's darkling grass was perfectly still, which made the movement easy to spot. Two ebony blobs jutting up above the blade tips. They were growing steadily larger. She heard a humming noise. Mechanical. It had been so long since she'd heard any kind of motor that it took a moment to place the sound, and even longer for her to bring herself to believe. Nobody on this planet had ground transport.
"Father!" she shrieked. "He's back!"
Then she was out of the open door and running towards the hovercraft, heedless of the stiff, dry grass slapping and scratching her bare legs. Horst saw her coming and jumped off the hovercraft as Ariadne slowed to a halt 15 meters from the homestead. He had told himself all through the trip that nothing had happened to them, that they would be all right, praying and praying that it would be so. But actually seeing Jay alive and in one piece was too much, and the repressed guilt and instituted fear burst out, overwhelming him. He fell to his knees and opened his arms. Jay hit him as if she was giving a rugby tackle.
"I thought you were dead," she blubbed. "I thought you'd left us."
"Oh, Jay, darling Jay, you know I never would." He cradled her head and rocked her gently. Then the other children came streaming down the homestead's ramshackle steps, squealing and shouting. He smiled at them all and held out his arms once more.